Marshall, Global Head of Research at ISS, and welcome to the May Proxy Bulletin podcast for the Asia-Pacific region. Today's focus is the Japan proxy season, which is starting now and will run through to the end of June. Joining me from Tokyo with a preview of the upcoming AGM activity and other trends in the market is ISS Head of Japanese Research, Takeyuki Ishida. The Japanese season is well known, of course, for its congested meeting calendar, and investors really have to run a proxy voting marathon at the pace of a 100-meter sprint. Take, to start us off, what will be the peak AGM date for this year?
Georgina, the 2019 Japan proxy season has already started, but as you note, the pace will accelerate soon. This year's peak meeting day is Thursday, June 27th, when 30% of June annual meetings will be held. That's well over 700 meetings being held on that day.
Yes, that's quite a number. And before we discuss AGM hotspots, were there any significant regulatory developments in Japan that are expected to impact the 2019 season?
For a change, there are no noteworthy regulatory developments that are likely to significantly impact voting at upcoming June AGMs. That applies both to companies and investors.
And Japanese boards have long been in the governance spotlight for their lack of transparency and accountability resulting from insider domination on boards. However, we've seen some really positive changes in recent years. Do you expect to see this positive boardroom trend continue?
Yes, Georgina. The presence of outside directors on Japanese boards continues to grow. Based on ISS research coverage for meetings held from January to March 2019, 98% of companies now have at least one outsider on the board. In recent years, Japanese boards have also improved in terms of board independence and board gender diversity. The percentage of companies where one-third of board members are outsiders reached 50% at companies that held shareholder meetings during the first quarter of 2019, up from 40% for the full 2018 calendar year. Many companies holding their annual meetings in the first quarter are large cap firms, so it is not realistic to expect that half of all Japanese companies will have elected boards with one-third outside representation by the end of June. We do expect to see year-over-year improvements, however, as issuers are subject to increasing pressure from both institutional shareholders and Japan's corporate governance code.
Okay, thank you. And how about compensation practices in Japan?
The average magnitude of director and executive pay in Japan is low by international standards, and incentive structures frequently lack links to shareholder wealth creation. Salaries and cash retirement bonuses, neither of which are directly linked to performance, constitute the bulk of Japanese executives' compensation. Performance-based pay, where it exists at all, typically constitutes a relatively small portion of executives' total pay. Furthermore, equity-based compensation, notably stock options, remain unpopular among Japanese firms. However, there is a growing trend towards wider use of performance-based pay. Some Japanese companies have started to link executive pay to performance measures, such as return on equity, operating profit, or net profit. In addition, some companies link pay to the achievement of management plan objectives.
That's very interesting. And moving next to the topic of shareholder proposals, do you anticipate any trends in shareholder proposal activity for this Japan season?
In recent years, we have tracked a surge in shareholder proposal submissions, particularly in 2017. Based on ISS research coverage universe, 250 shareholder proposals were put to a vote in 2017. In 2018, 198 proposals were voted on at Japanese companies. In Japan, there's no limit on the number of proposals a single shareholder can submit at an individual company. So the number of firms where shareholder proposals are voted is probably a better metric to measure the level of shareholder activism and engagement in Japan. From this perspective, activism is clearly rising. In 2011, for example, only 26 companies had shareholder proposals on ballot. In 2018, 46 companies had shareholder proposals on their ballot. Given the growing trend of using shareholder proposals to engage companies, the number of shareholder proposals filed in 2019 is expected to be equal or to exceed the levels seen in 2017 and 2018.
And what types of investors typically propose shareholder resolutions in Japan?
Proponents can be grouped into several broad categories. Activist funds hope to focus attention to balance sheets and valuation, so they often propose higher dividends or buyback proposals. In March, for example, Singapore-based Hibiki Path Advisors submitted a proposal asking clothing manufacturer Sanyo Shokai to pay a higher dividend. The fund argued that the company has excess cash that should be distributed to shareholders. The proposal was voted down with support of only 12%. A majority support was needed for the shareholder proposal to pass. In another example, at disaster prevention product manufacturer Teikoku Senri, a Tokyo-based investment fund, Sparks Group, submitted shareholder proposals again this year. The fund sought a higher dividend payout and the appointment of an independent director, Katsuya Natori. Both proposals were voted down. The dividend proposal received support of 23%, and the dissident nominee received support of 20%. Excess cash on balance sheets and capital efficiency remain hot topics for Japanese companies. Updates to Japan's Corporate Governance Code in June 2018 stressed the importance of paying attention to capital cost. This pressure has encouraged activist shareholders to submit shareholder proposals addressing dividends and buybacks. The number of companies that received shareholder proposals requesting higher dividends or share buyback jumped from 5 companies in 2011 to 18 companies in 2018.
And what other types of proponents do you expect to see based on your experience?
Anti-nuclear groups have long submitted shareholder proposals to electric companies. In Japan, there are 10 electric utilities. Other than Okinawa Electric Power, they all engage in nuclear power generation, and as such, they have been targeted by anti-nuclear activist groups. This year, those groups are expected to submit proposals to those 9 electric utilities. Submission from the activist groups will account for a large portion of the total number of proposals on ballots in Japan. Traditionally, the anti-nuclear activist proposal have directly opposed nuclear power generation, but recently they have also submitted proposals related to corporate governance matters, such as individual disclosure of director compensation. Some individual shareholders are active proponents. They submit proposals of a variety of topics, ranging from calls to boost dividend payouts or buybacks, to corporate governance matters, such as improving disclosure practices. These individual shareholders sometimes submit their own slates of director candidates or request removal of incumbent directors. Unlike many other markets, shareholders of Japanese companies can nominate their own directors candidates to be included in proxy circular prepared by the company.
And do you expect any other ESG-related topics in proposals this season?
The proposals by anti-nuclear shareholder groups can broadly defined as ESG-related. but their primary focus is to shut down nuclear power plants. Otherwise, we are unaware of any proposals related to climate change or greenhouse gas emissions for 2019 meetings. Notably, we have never seen environment or social related shareholder proposals at Japanese companies submitted by institutional shareholders.
Okay, thank you for that, Take. And moving on to the broader picture, what are some of the other key issues that you think may be raised at AGMs this season?
Some large manufacturers' meetings will draw scrutiny this year in the wake of quality and product safety data falsification or violation of industry standards. Companies in the spotlight include KYB, Hitachi Chemical, Fujikura, Leopard 21, Sumitomo Heavy Industries, and Daiwa House Industries. In addition to those, now I'd like to touch on six meetings to watch. They are Nissan Motor, Lixil Group, Olympus Corp, Toshiba Corp, Shinsei Bank, and Eisai. First, Nissan Motor. Nissan Motor held a special meeting in April to remove former chairman Carlos Ghosn and former representative director Greg Kelly from its board. The two former executives have been indicted on charges of violating the Financial Instruments and Exchange Act. Jean-Dominique Snard was appointed as the new CEO of the Renault-Nissan-Mitsubishi Alliance. At the upcoming AGM in June, shareholders may want to pay attention to what measures Nissan is taking to regain public trust. Next, I want to go to the Lixil Group. Lixil Group will also be in the spotlight. There is a highly publicized struggle between OCD CEO Kinya Seto and the founding family member Yoichiro Ushioda, who took over the post of CEO replacing Seto in November 2018. Seto argues that the process leading to his dismissal was inappropriate, and institutional shareholders, including London-based Marathon Asset Management, called on Lixil Group to hold a special meeting in May to remove Ushioda and COO Hirokazu Yamanashi from their director post due to what was considered the firm's opaque and inappropriate CEO removal process. Both Ushioda and Yamanashi were members of the nomination committee when Seto's removal took place. Seto submitted shareholder proposals to nominate dissident directors, including himself, to be put to a vote at the company's upcoming AGM in June. On April 18 this year, the company announced that both Ushioda and Yamanashi will step down from the board in June. Meanwhile, Marathon announced that it withdrew the request to hold a special meeting given the recent company announcement. And just recently, Lixil announced its own director nominees. But institutional shareholders do not appear to be satisfied with the proposed slate. So this meeting will be closely watched by shareholders. And then another interesting case to measure shareholder engagement is Olympus. In March, the company announced that it will nominate Robert Hale, a partner of Value Active Capital Management, a shareholder of Olympus, to the board. It is unusual for Japanese companies to appoint investors as directors, so the company will be closely watched by the market participants. A similar case to Olympus should be Toshiba. In March, media reported that King Street Capital Management, the fourth largest shareholder with a 5% stake, requested a board overhaul at Toshiba. Now, it appears that there was some settlement with the fund and no news about the proxy fight is reported so far. Meanwhile, on May 13, Toshiba announced its slate of 12 directors, which includes a representative of Farallon Capital Management. Farallon Capital is another major fund shareholder of Toshiba. Like the case of Olympus Corp, this move could imply Japanese companies changing attitude toward shareholder activist shareholders. Next, I want to talk about Shinsei Bank. Shareholders will be asked to vote on a shareholder proposal at Shinsei Bank, which was submitted by Dalton Investment. Dalton has a 6% stake in the bank. Actually, this is the second year that the bank received a proposal by the fund. Last year, the fund submitted the proposal, calling on the bank to increase equity-based compensation, but it was defeated with the support of 25%. This year, the fund wants to nominate James Rosenwald, who is Dalton's founder, as an independent director to the board. Finally, shareholders may be interested in Eisai's poison pill. Eisai implemented the poison pill plan in 2006 and has renewed it without shareholder approval since then. In the years since Eisai implemented its pill, a majority of Japanese companies with non-approved pills have either decided to put them to a vote or abolish them altogether. According to ISS data, the number of Japanese companies with poison pill reached its peak around 2009, when around 570 companies had pills. However, the number declined to 367, including 12 non-approved pills, as of May 2019.
And that's it for our 2019 Japan Proxy Season Preview. Thank you, Take. And if you would like more information, we published our ISS Japan Season Preview in mid-May, authored by Take and his team. And thank you to you, our listeners. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Please watch your email for the next installment and send any feedback or questions to bulletin@issgovernance.com. Thank you and goodbye for now.